Freddy.
Yeah, welcome everybody to YouTube here on YouTube.
Hey.
It's overtime.
Hi, YouTube.
Yeah. looks like me and Kyle made it. Rob T. Firefly and Gila, you here?
Yes, we did.
We are here.
And Alex?
Yep, I am here.
And are we actually on YouTube?
We are.
All right.
We're sounding good.
There's nothing left for us to do then. We're done.
All right. Great show, everyone.
Yeah, well, wonderful.
Let's get into it.
Oh, boy.
I can start things off by passing along something that was related to us over Mastodon regarding something we were talking about. Alex, you mentioned aha.gov, A-H-A. And sadly, that has nothing to do with a synth pop group that did the catchy Take On Me song. It's actually, according to someone called Toroidal Core on Mastodon, it might have something to do with RFK Jr.'s Administration for a Healthy America scheme for Health and Human Services that he's been publicizing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought about that as well. And it just seems to me like they, if that is the case, that this aha.gov does relate to America Healthy Again or something like that. I think the whole initiative was called Make America Healthy Again. And if this was the branding aha that they're using, then I think that they really missed out on the opportunity to use that kind of trademark Make America Whatever the Hell It Is Again, right? So, you know, Make America Great Again, Make America Healthy Again, Make America, you know, whatever the hell it is. So I would think that this was a very big missed branding opportunity for MAHA as opposed to AHA. But who the hell knows?
I think we're all thinking UHUH.
Yeah.
Don't you mean UHOH.gov?
Oh, that would be good. Yeah, that's worthwhile too.
Wow. We have WTF.net, I think. I think that's one of our domains. They should have WTF.gov. That'd be better.
Do we still have .usa?
Yeah, no, that's what we have. WTFUSA.net.
Yeah.
No, it's USAWT. We don't know what we have. USAWTF, I'm pretty sure, is what we have. No, it's USA.WTF. That's what it is.
Yeah, you have the domain at the TLD.
Uh-huh.
WTF.
All right, way to talk technical, Gila. Okay, I'm lost.
All right.
I do my best. Okay, you know what's weird, though?
Mm-hmm.
Is MAHA has meant something to me literally not my entire life, but since I was a kid, because it's the Mid-America Girl Scouts day camp in Western Nebraska.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Eastern Nebraska. I went to Camp MAHA.
That's really specific. Okay. All right.
So it's weird to hear people talking about it. That's all. I had to.
Well, I wish they were talking about that because it would be so much more innocent.
I do too. Also, side note, actually not a side note at all, but welcome to the 33 people who are online with us right now. And I do want to thank specifically our friends Funsox and Tim in Connecticut for being very, very vigilant and reminding everyone in the chat that meetings are tomorrow. The new issue of 2600 is out. And
meetings are Friday, not tomorrow.
Sorry, meetings are Friday.
Unless
new issue is out.
Unless it's tomorrow where you are.
That's true.
Yes.
And that Hope tickets are still up for sale. And I will say that, you know, you've got until midnight to also support the EFF with your Hope ticket purchase.
That's right. 10% goes to EFF. And, you know, on that subject, I didn't get a chance on the radio to do this, but we are basically kind of in a bad state right now as far as Hope tickets go. We it's true that the conference isn't until August instead of July, but we need to have more tickets sold if we're going to have the things we want to have. We have a tremendous amount of speakers, a tremendous amount of people coordinating workshops and villages and things like that. The enthusiasm has been through the roof, but it has not reflected as much in ticket sales. And that is what makes or breaks the conference. Obviously, if we don't sell tickets, then we can't afford to do the things that the conference demands that we do. So please go to hope.net. And if you've been holding off on getting your ticket, then try to make it possible. And if you're not coming in person, then please consider a virtual ticket, which is, you know, a fraction of the cost and gives you all kinds of access. And it's a great way to support the conference. But I have to be honest, if we don't turn things around, I don't see how we can keep doing this. I really don't. I know people are really nervous about traveling. I know people are nervous about speaking out and things like that. And I get that. And I'm not trying to convince anybody to do anything they're not comfortable with. But there are ways of supporting the things that you believe in. And I'm just saying that this is something that so many of us believe in. It's something so precious. And the only reason we're doing it this year is because we're reacting. We're reacting to the threat. And we feel that having our voices out there strongly, having a lot of people given a forum to express themselves and to share information from a hacker perspective that will be useful to everybody in this country, in this world, that is something so priceless that we dare not turn our back and risk it. So I know that there have been a lot of assumptions. Yeah, we'll get to it. Everything's going to be fine. We can't make those assumptions anymore. We really cannot make those assumptions. We have to be strong. And this affects not only the conference, it affects the magazine. It affects everything we do. And if we're strong, you're strong. We will be there for you. It's so important. It really is so important. Hope.net, all the info is there. We always struggle to update web pages. I know it's not our strong point, but we have so much that we want to be able to share with you. And this month coming up is going to be a lot of it. We still have speaker submissions open, I believe, until the end of the month. And we have, I know workshops will be closing fairly soon. There'll be an announcement about that. All kinds of surprises, all kinds of really cool things. The important thing, though, is we got to keep going. We got to keep this project and the things we do and our spirit. We have to keep all of that alive. All right. That's all I have to say. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I really want to remind folks of the virtual ticket, because we have to acknowledge what's going on out there. It's really weird out there. It's scary out there. Travel is terrifying now in so many more ways than it has been. And we totally understand if you don't want to get on a plane and come to America right now, for those of you who don't live here. We totally understand if you don't want to go to an in-person event right now, if you're medically vulnerable. But the virtual tickets are there. They are just as vital in continuing to support the event and what we do there. And you do get access to the online streams and the online community things that are available, speaker sessions, online workshops. It's live chats. You submit questions to the speakers, and all of that. You have access to all of that as a virtual attendee. And it is an option. It is an important option. And we hope those who are interested get on that.
I just wanted to reiterate I think enthusiasm we felt coming away from being in a new venue, it getting a little bit more familiar as a home for Hope, is part of why we made the leap into going annually. It was also because it's a bit of feedback we've had over the years that people are really excited. They just wish it was more frequent. So that was in the back of our minds. And as was pointed out, the thought we had was that we don't need to wait and give this current regime time to, you know, basically have all of their plans unfurled without us creating a venue and a platform and a forum for discussion, for critiques, for the types of things that Hope is renowned for regarding technology, regarding its implications with the law, regarding social and cultural phenomena that are always changing at an ever more rapid pace, and of course, what is the contemporary hacker doing? What are we doing? What are we doing in the face of it? How are we finding common cause to basically be able to perpetuate the curiosity and excitement and exuberance that comes from being excited about technology? And this event has always been a hallmark of that. We want to continue to be serve that function and be literally able to host this and just basically see a really wide amount of exciting ideas and talks and presentations, and of course just people having fun in the summertime. The people that attend are the people that make the event, literally. As Emmanuel pointed out, their participation makes it happen. It allows us to plan and allocate resources and be there as best we can with as many features and as many fun aspects of it as we can. So if you can attend in person, definitely check out the virtual tickets, as Rob was pointing out, but also spread the word. If you already have a ticket, tell a friend, tell people in your family. If you know basically hobbyist groups or any kind of clubs that might be interested, student organizations that you know of that might have people that could get something out of this, that's the kind of thing that really goes a long way. So don't forget that your words matter. And if you share about what hope has been for you and that it is happening annually now, and that it would be a great opportunity for someone to present or for someone to hear about technology and hacking and be amongst other people like them or not so like them, this is a great, great event and cause to be a part of. So we're inviting you, please show up, get your tickets and share about it. Tell people far and wide, by word of mouth or in any kind of social network that you can. That promotion just, it goes a really long way for something like this that is not a hugely commercial enterprise by any stretch. Like, we're not taking out ads on buses or, you know, on various TV or other sorts of media. This is all about people who are interested, people who know about what we do and what kinds of stories and interesting topics get covered. You know the right kind of people that would really benefit from this. So please share with them as much as you can.
The comment that I think we all hear the most from people who have attended the conference, not to put too fine a point on this, but the word is life-changing. People have their lives affected in a very positive way by an event like this. Picture it. You're on a college campus in the middle of Queens in New York City. You know, it's like a country setting, but right outside is the city again. Easy to get to, convenient, and really cheap when you think about it. If you stay in a dormitory on campus, as many of us do, it's like going camping. It's super cheap as far as what you wind up paying for accommodations. And you're right there in the middle of the conference. And, however much you want to get involved in the conference, that's up to you. But it's like going to those European conferences or campgrounds where you just kind of feel like you're away from the world for a few days. And you build this community and you stay in touch with people for years, sometimes longer. It's magical. And we hope we can pull this off and continue doing this. But that's really up to our attendees, because without our attendees, you know, this isn't possible. That's just the way it is. We are still looking for more speakers. We have a lot so far. We're going to start announcing some, but there's room for more. And if you know some people, we have some special guests that we can't really say anything about at this early stage, because it is still a little bit early. It's May. The conference is in August. We're not 100% that they can make it, but these are the kinds of things that we're balancing constantly when we're putting on a conference. Can this person give a talk? Will this person be there? And if you have people that you can think of that you want to suggest, or even that you might know, please, we're open to that. We are completely open to that. We have at least another month of speaker coordination before we have to start finalizing the schedule. So again, please spread the word. Hope.net, all the info is there. Please buy your tickets. Encourage people to get tickets. Keep hope alive. Really, that's I couldn't say it any better than that. All right, so that's enough about that.
Isn't that a Crystal Method song?
Is it?
Keep Hope Alive?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm sure everybody has said that at some point.
Wow, some 90s trip hop.
Do we want to open up phones?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
Let's do it.
What's our, we haven't done this in a while. 802-321-4225. Is that still our number? Do we pay the bill?
Yeah, I think it is active. There's right. also a toll-free number, but I don't know it off the top of my head. Maybe someone can chime in.
Well, go ahead. It's 833-755-2600.
All right, but 802-321-4225 is the main number, and that's 802-321-HACK. If you have letters on your phone. While we're waiting for the phone to ring, any other stories, adventures people have gone through in the past? Alex, you're back from Switzerland, it looks like.
I am. I'm back. And it was a lot. I had flown out to Switzerland last week, Monday night, arrived Tuesday afternoon. I was over at the World Intellectual Property Organization. That's part of the United Nations. And I was actually being interviewed on stage about the Ethereum name service and Web3. And it was the 25th anniversary at WIPO of something called the UDRP, or the Uniform Domain Name Resolution Policy. And that's the policy that WIPO had created by which you can remove domain names from cyber squatters, typo squatters, et cetera. And it sounds like we have a call. So I'll shut up and why don't we take the call? Hopefully, if we...
Let's pick this one up and...
Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. You're on... Wow, there's a hum on this line. Is there anything we can do about that hum?
Yeah, we might have to reconnect or... Okay. Well, let's give it a try.
All right. If there's somebody there, we can... We can barely hear you, but go ahead.
Let me try. I'll call back.
Okay. We got to get rid of the hum.
Is that our hum?
I think it's our hum because it only happens when I bring this up. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, hear that?
Is it really like that?
It's like that. See, it's... We got to get rid of that. I call her. We're going to get rid of the hum before we pick up your phone.
Haven't
we're sorry about that.
Anything, so...
Well, I can tell you this hum is here.
I know what it might be. Hold on.
Well, then fix that, whatever that might be. And feel free to talk out there and signal.
Okay, well, we have a question that Alex is mainly directed to you. What's the latest on Virgil? Is the question from the chat.
Ah, sure. The latest on Virgil is that he is in a halfway house over in Baltimore. He's doing all right. He's going to be there for, I think, at least a few more weeks is what it seems like. We're hopeful to get him into home confinement before too long, but not sure. The regulations there and the rules and things seem to have changed based on what we had previously understood. But he's doing well. He's out. He's got internet access. He's interacting with the world and I think in really good spirits. I think this is just also a very precarious time for him as well, because these halfway houses, they afford you a little bit of rope, is kind of how this is described in many ways. So you have a bit more freedom, you have a lot of rope, but you can also hang yourself quite easily with that particular rope, because there's a lot of surveillance, there's a lot of monitoring of all of these person's activities. And so I think it's a particularly dangerous time for Virgil, because he does not want to, I think, cross the line and get sent back to prison before his full term would end. But this is a very, very big improvement, and I'm really glad to say that we got to this level, I think, quicker than we had originally thought we would, given that we were able to reduce the sentence last year. And I think it was unfortunate that we didn't have him out and over to a halfway house even sooner than this, given that he was eligible to have been released to a halfway house for some time now.
Can I just butt in here for a second? We're trying to deal with this. It's possible it's on the phone line, but people are calling the phone line. So as soon as we as soon as they hang up, we pick up and someone else is there. We need to test the phone line. So please, nobody call while we're testing it so we can try and fix this. Go about your conversation. Thank you.
All right. Well, yeah. Now that you've interrupted the narrative flow here, entire story and interjecting some nonsense about, you know, testing the lines here, we can say anything we want about Emmanuel right now because his headphones are off.
That's so true. We could literally say anything. I'm too pure of heart to do that. So I am going to push another question from the chat. This is specifically for another panelist. A question: did Rob guess the password on his old Twitter account?
Yes. For those who missed the show a few weeks ago, a listener had re-registered my old Twitter handle, which I abandoned and deleted quite some time ago. And then tried to inspire me to hack it and reclaim it. And the answer is no, I haven't guessed the password because I haven't tried because I'm supremely uninterested in it. So, you know, if anyone else out there wants to take a shot at Rob_T_Firefly on Twitter, which is not me, even though it's got my picture on it and a rather old picture. And it's following a bunch of crap I would never follow. But if anybody is interested in doing anything with that, it's completely out of my hands and it's completely out of my field of interest. So, hey.
The other thing I'm finding interesting, and I had forgotten about this, is that now you can't look at Twitter unless you're signed in to Twitter.
Yeah. And
I'm not. I don't have a Twitter login. I don't care. And yeah, so, I don't even know what we're seeing there anymore because I can't see it.
I'd look at it, except I'd rather do anything, literally anything else in the world.
But FunSox does make a good point. Mm-hmm. Knowing your proclivities, yes, the password probably was Swordfish.
Maybe. That would have been funny.
Based on what we're seeing in the background, it does look like we are still holding off with some technical issues and trying to get some things fixed on the phone line. So, Alex, Rob, it's just us, you guys.
Wow, it's just us, and I'm not quite sure how to handle this.
I'm not either, but I am going to point out something. Well, I'm not actually. Tim in Connecticut. I'm going to hold this for a second because Emmanuel's not wearing headphones right now, so I can't say it because he's not going to hear it. But you know what? I don't think you're wrong. And as soon as Emmanuel puts his headphones back on, shout out to Alex from a listener that says, shout out to Alec. Well, Alec, for tipping off 404 media to the .gov domain names. That was a good scoop. I would like to mention that his name is Alex with an X, not Alec Baldwin.
That could have just been a typo, though, because the letters are right next to each other on the keyboard.
That is very true. Yes. And yes, Optical Phoenix, it is the Gila Rob and Alex show. Thank you, FunSox. Yes, Optical Phoenix, we talked at great length, actually, about the death of Nest version 1 and version 2 on the over-the-air show. Emmanuel yelled at the cloud for a while. It was fun. And it's fine. It's totally fine. We are good.
I think we should just give out Rob's personal phone number, right? And then we can just put it on speaker and have it on the air. Should we do that?
Oh, well, I think it's a great idea. I definitely want people to be able to contact us at our home with no...
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, 212-279-9970. Isn't that your home line number?
No, I changed it. Now it's 555-1212.
Oh, is that what it is? That's
right. I'm still hearing it.
That's a hum.
That's a hum.
You know why that sound equipment over there is humming?
Because it doesn't know the words.
Precisely.
It's a real humdinger, isn't it? Yeah.
This is fascinating, though. Like, we have this call-in show. We do it for the purpose of taking calls. And, you know, the technology has decided, you know, computer says no. But nevertheless, we persist.
We
thank those of you on the chat for sticking with us through this. And if you on the chat have any particular questions or comments you want to throw in, now's the time, because we're just concentrating on you without the distraction of audio telecommunications.
We're not getting phone calls. We, you know, Emmanuel and Kyle are in and out. But yes, it is for the moment the Gila, Ram, and Alec show. So I don't know, guys, heard any good jokes lately?
Yeah, but they're not appropriate for YouTube.
I think that's so probably true. Yep.
I know my brother has a Nest thermostat in his home, so I panic sent him the article link during the show, and I said, oh my God, you have to get a new thermostat? And he said, no, mine's newer than that. I was like, okay, I just wanted to double check.
Also, let it not be said that your brother isn't on top of things and, you know, upgrades from through.
Yeah, you mean like the Internet of Things lock the man put on his door? I'm like, someday you're not going to be able to get in your house. There's going to be a power outage. You're not going to be able to get in your house. Then what are you going to do? I'm like, someday you're not going to be able to get in your house. There's going to be a power outage. You're not going to be able to get in your house. Then what are you going to do?
I knew someone who got a brand new apartment in a brand new apartment building just built, and the door lock required a phone app to use. And there was a big to-do about it because not everyone has a phone. Not everyone has a phone app. And not everyone should be expected to have a phone that has a charge and is something you want to fiddle with to get into the door of your own apartment.
I worked with someone who only had a flip phone until a couple of years ago when they rolled out this phone app that we all had to put on our cell phones so that we can have access to our work phones all the time. And he went and got a smartphone specifically for that purpose.
Guys, if I can just step in for another second, we just rebooted our delay system. So you might have heard a little bit of confusion with people skipping just a little bit. And that's why that happened, because we're trying to track this down. There's we've isolated it to not the board. It's something to do with the line that carries the phone, and that's what it sounds like now.
Boy,
I'm sorry. Was that Kyle?
I could try the compressor too, but I don't know if that would actually do anything.
Yeah, try that. And thanks whoever keeps calling and making it hard for us to do this. This is why it's taking so long.
You know who that is.
Can you unplug the phone while you're testing from the phone line?
Yeah, let's troubleshoot together. Yeah, unplug the phone line and see what happens. Well, obviously the phone stops ringing, but as far as the... actually, Kyle, you can move it back to the regular channel for a telephone, I think. That way it's less confusing.
Can I?
Yeah.
Phone stops ringing.
Okay, now I'm going to bring that up.
I have to say, though...
And the hum is there.
Really... wonderful, finally being not the only person with audio problems here.
We have another question, which is Rob asks Fun Socks, what did the gas smell like?
Good question, Fun Socks. It smelled like gas. It was methane gas. It was from a gas line. For those who didn't hear the radio hour, I was in the midst of the large high pressure gas leak in Morningside Heights, Manhattan this morning. I was not responsible for it, but I was working in the area and evacuated from the area as a result. And it was quite a fascinating experience. It was loud. It was scary. It was stinky. But no one was hurt, thankfully. And the gas smelled like mercaptan, which is the additive they add to natural gas so that you can smell it. It's the stuff that makes it smell like farts. Yeah, the whole street smelled like it. The inside of the building I was in before we got out into the street smelled like it, because that's how much gas was being thrown into the air. And we kept walking downtown until we didn't smell it anymore, and that was on 115th Street.
And yes, you did eventually get the remainder of the day off work, but there were also cascading transit issues stemming from this particular problem. So it took you a while to get home. Also,
yes.
But my shortened
day. Some of my work is stuff I can do on my smartphone, and so my boss actually took a picture of me still doing my job on a park bench, by on Morningside Drive, while we were waiting to hear whether the building was safe to go into again or we should break off for the day.
Emmanuel.
Yes, can I help you?
There was a comment specifically for you that I did want to share with you, but I wanted to wait till you had your headphones back on. Which is, Tim in Connecticut says, Google killing Nest. I wouldn't worry till it's done. I've heard too many Google voices going to die many, many, many times. So
yeah, but they said it. They said it this time. So
yeah, I know they said it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's actually going to happen. And for people who are writing in saying they like the buzz sound, there we are. Yes. Also, for what it's worth, the first thing I said when I got home today was, "Thank you for not blowing up."
It was literally the least I could do.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Fun Socks tells us that USA gas smells like farts. UK gas smells like rotten eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
today I learned.
Yeah, in its natural form, natural gas does not smell like anything. So, yes, the suppliers add things to it to make it stinky.
What movie was this from? Speaking of things blowing up. Gee, I'm real sorry your mom blew up, Ricky. You remember that? Do you remember that line? Anybody?
It sounds familiar.
It does, but I can't.
It was John Cusack who said it. A movie. I think it was from the 80s.
Better Off Dead.
Yes, you got it. That was good. Yep. Yeah. I'm sure somebody in the chat probably got it before. But
If they have gotten it, they got held up by slow mode, and I haven't seen it yet. People are. Yes,
or the slight delay.
Tim in Connecticut has an interesting anecdote, which is, you know, he's like, I remember when we would do a fire drill and people in the building, first thing they would do outside was fire up a smoke. But I think you guys were all able to tell that this was very much not a drill.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it smelled like gas, and I'm sure the further you got down the stairs, the more gaseous it smelled.
Mm-hmm.
Gaseous?
Gaseous, yeah. Gassy.
Gaseous clay.
I was talking to a group text I'm on about what was going on, and somebody did make the joke that, oh yeah, time for a smoke break. But even if I did smoke, which I don't, I think I would have known better. It's yes.
I think we should just do the phone calls with the hum, right? I mean,
or we could just have an Oops All YouTube edition of Off the Hook Overtime.
Oops All panel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're trying.
They're trying, I think, valiantly over here. I have faith in them. I think they're going to get this sorted out. They're working hard. There's frustration on their faces. Is that Emmanuel smashing something now?
What is
he hitting?
I don't know. I think he's crying a little.
Alex, you have the link up by any chance? Are you watching YouTube?
I have it on. Yeah.
Okay, we have a question for you in the chat, and I will let you choose whether you want to answer it.
Where is it? Alex been watching hotel porn. No, I have not. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah, I find that the hotel porn just, you know, wholly unsatisfying. Really, you know, yeah, it's like nothing like the real thing, I guess. But I have been in a lot of hotels lately. Yes.
Yeah, at my time of life, I find the most interesting thing to do in a hotel is generally go to sleep.
All right, folks,
agree.
Go ahead, finish your sentence, and we have an update.
I had a question for Alex, but. We can hold it till after the update.
Okay. Whoever keeps war dialing us is really pissing us off because it makes it so much harder for us to troubleshoot, especially when we ask people don't do that. Okay. So we can't really track it down because there is a hum every time we bring the phone up, we move the phone, we change the wires, we change the phone. The hum just seems to be like a curse. So what we're going to do in order to salvage things tonight is just accept very short calls where you can ask us a question and then we will turn you down or hang up and then we'll answer your question. I wish we could have more of a conversation, but that's all. It's either that or nothing because it's, you know, do you want this, this sound, this humming? It's terrible.
It's kind of a liminal space. Maybe some people might enjoy that.
All right, so let's try it with this first one. 802-321-4225. Quick question. Are they connected? Okay. And good evening. One question. That's all we have time for with the hum. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, this is getting
here. Rebel, you know, you've been a pain in the ass tonight. All we asked was people not to call while we were troubleshooting this, and you've been calling us nonstop. So, listen, you have one question you can ask us, then we're hanging up, because that is what we explained to everybody else.
Okay. What do I want to ask? Let's see.
Technically, that's a question, but I'm going to give you one more chance.
Okay. Something about hope. Oh, not about hope.
Okay, Rebel, next time, listen to the show, okay, so that you're prepared. All right. Thank you. 802-321-4225. Gila, go ahead.
I thought Rebel was banned on the show tonight.
No, I was being nice. He was banned, but we didn't do a show last week. We didn't do overtime last week, so I lifted the ban. I didn't log it, so people didn't know that. But it's true. So he's not in violation. He could have gotten a perma banned. And that's a serious thing that we don't hand out lightly. But he's not perma banned. But he did piss us off because he wouldn't stop calling when we were trying to analyze a phone line. All right.
He's not permabanned yet.
He's on the road to permaband, though. He is definitely, he's got his feet on that road, so he needs to be careful.
Next call. But, we have a call?
Yes. Go ahead.
No, it's not there. Go ahead, Gila.
Next call is invited to call us. 802-321-4225. Go ahead, Gila.
But as Funtox points out, if you have questions and you don't want to brave the hum, you can also pop them in the chat. And we did have a question
in the chat. If you're in the chat, there are people listening that aren't in the chat.
Are there, though?
You know, this is exactly why I don't like having a chat, because we just assume the chat is all. And the chat is not all. The chat is part of it. But there is, you know, many times I listen to things on YouTube and I'm not in a chat.
We have a call.
All right. And good evening. Make it quick.
Hello, this is Lurai Chu from Washington, D.C., calling on a Western Electric 2500.
Unfortunately, that doesn't help us tonight because our phone line sucks. But please ask your question.
We're pleased, though.
Yes.
Well, I don't have it. I have one thing to say about Google that also ties into this phone and the analog telephone adapter I'm connecting it to. But, yeah, not a question, just a statement I would like to make.
Okay, make that statement. As you might be able to hear, we have a terrible hum. By the way, can you hear the terrible hum?
No.
You don't hear the hum. Only we hear the hum. That's interesting. That's a valuable bit of information. Okay, that has earned you more time. So ask your question or make your statement. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is a story about Google discontinuing things in light of what you brought up on the air earlier. Well, this Western Electric 2500, it is connected to a OBI 200 analog telephone adapter, and what that does is lets you use analog phones as a VoIP phone. And there used to be a feature with this where you could use Google Voice on these. And, you know, Google Voice, they offer free phone numbers for U.S. and Canada, and I think they'd shut down with that either 2018 or 2020. But that's something that affected the functionality of the device I bought after that. I mean, it would be very convenient to just for me to buy this ATA set up with Google Voice, not to worry about paying for anything. But I mean, I did find a VoIP service, VoIP.ms, which is pretty cost-effective and it works for me. But yeah, I mean, that's my experience. That's a Google shutdown, which affected me personally, my equipment and stuff. So.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that with us, and we're going to continue trying to troubleshoot our problems here, but. Please keep listening, and hopefully we can talk to you on a clearer line next time.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
All right, take care. Bye. All right. Did we learn anything from that? I don't know. We learned that it can't be heard on the other end, but it can be heard here.
And that people use ATAs to make their older phones work on voice over IP applications, which is great. We've talked about that in previous weeks.
Sounds so nice without the phone, doesn't it? So nice and crystal clear.
it's very nice.
I know. Could we hold the earpiece of the phone up to a microphone? Would that work? Look, it's low tech, I know, but desperate times. I'll wait for a better idea.
No, I think we should try it. Let's give it a shot.
802-321-4225. We're not going to be at this much longer because we have better things to do.
Yes.
No, like, so, I have another hybrid, but it's that could go wrong in all kinds of ways. And it just, I don't think it's going to enhance the discussion.
Probably not.
So we do have a question that's in the chat.
Okay.
Are you guys doing your own hope talks is the question. Well, that's I believe that's at us in a general unit.
We will be speaking in one form or another. It might be speaking to people one-on-one, or it might be speaking to a, you know, we get dragged onto panels at a moment's notice. But, you know, it's not about us. It's about the community. It's about getting all kinds of different voices out there. It's about, you know, cramming in a whole, I mean, we have 100 talks. You know, getting all that scheduled is the most important thing, and giving people a chance who might not have addressed our crowd before. But yeah, we're going to be on site, so definitely it's a possibility.
Yeah, I would just add that at this point in my life, like I am open to talking about my experiences, but I don't think, like E said, I don't think doing it at our own event is really the right venue, but I am open to talking or writing or speaking publicly about my involvement and what all of this has been like. But again, hope is not the event for that. It's not about me or what the operational side of all of this is, but I've definitely thought about speaking. I have a lot of things on my mind generally, and that's about it. But I guess the answer is no. I'll be participating in Hope. Well, I'll speak generally if called upon, but I won't be giving a talk.
We're just speaking for the two of us. I mean, Alex, I know you're giving a talk, and you know, maybe Rob, maybe Gila, yep. I don't know. But Alex, you want to tell us something about what you're planning?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things planned, actually. I don't know if you remember, but the last Hope, which was last year, I did three separate talks. It was actually quite an insanely busy weekend because I think I spoke on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so I'm doing a talk with Dan Nowak and Roel Schoenberg again, you know, and we're talking kind of more about the philosophy of decentralization and various things. And from there, I actually have an idea for two other panels that I'm in the midst of putting together. So if the speaker selection committee is kind to me again this year, I might end up doing another three different panels again and making it a really busy weekend. So I'll be talking. I feel like I've given some kind of talk at pretty much just about every Hope for the last, like, I don't know, 14 years or something like that. So why the hell not keep it going?
We have a comment that says Alex gives a mean presentation. And if I may, point of personal privilege, one of my favorite things in the world is, Emmanuel, when you're talking to anybody about anything and you find what they're saying interesting, you're like, you know, that would be a really good Hope talk.
That's true.
And it is one of my favorite things to watch you say that to somebody else. Because first of all, this idea that, like, everybody's got ideas that are worth sharing, but also the encouragement that that gives. Like, I was talking to you about something for like 90 seconds once, and you're like, you know, that would be a good Hope talk. And I would have never thought that that would be, I could expand, first of all, 90 seconds to 50 minutes, but also just that is an incredibly encouraging thing to hear.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that's kind of how the magazine got started, you know, going, calling up BBSs back in the 80s. And seeing these stories that people were telling about everything from jumping into trash bins to find computer printouts to hacking into the phone company to messing around with their own phones. All of that was being told on BBSs to a relatively small crowd. And, you know, the people that were starting the magazine said that would make a good story. That would make something that lots of people would appreciate. So it's sharing the stories that we have, because we all have stories. We all have experiences. We say we don't know as much as other people. And sure, that's true. But a lot of people don't know as much as you. And I guarantee you know something that those people who know more than you don't know. You know, we all are experts in one thing or another, and we all are amateurs in something else. So the important thing is to just, you know, realize that you're in a friendly place. People are listening. People are learning. And there's so much you can learn as well. So I hope that's the environment that continues to flourish.
Yeah, that's seriously one of my favorite things about HOPE. And, you know, I've spoken at HOPE in the past. I've been on the speaker selection committee in the past. And one of the most joyful things, I think, is when you look at that HOPE schedule and as an attendee and you're like, wait, there's a talk on that? This is amazing. I can't miss this one. Mm-hmm. And that started as somebody having the idea and presenting the idea. And I've heard from so many people over the years that, oh, yeah, I have this idea that might be a HOPE talk, but I'm not sure. I don't know if it's cool enough. I don't know if I'm going to be good enough at doing it. And I say, make the submission, because no one's going to make fun of you if it doesn't get in. No one's going to shame you. No one. There will be no consequences, literally not a single consequence if you submit a talk and it's not accepted. But there's the chance that it will be accepted and you'll get to do it and people will love it. Submit your talk ideas.
And we have seen so many creative and fascinating subjects being submitted for talk ideas this time. It's, you know, it's almost unbelievable just the wide diversity of experience and interest. So it's great to see that kind of a response. That's not something I am worried about at all. You know, seeing that kind of a response to an invitation to submit talks, it's great. You know, I want to see more, obviously. And I know there are a lot more people out there that have something to say. We want to hear from all of you. And credentials, you know, that's not what we're all about. You can be 13 or you can be 93. As long as you have something to say, something to share, and you're willing to listen, take questions, that kind of thing, we want to hear from you. So I'm not at all concerned that community is not out there. That community is most certainly out there. But as I said at the beginning, we need to get attendees to show up as well so that we can make the thing actually work feasibly, financially, and all that. It's you know, that's the last ingredient. We cross that bridge. We're gonna have a great conference no matter what. I just don't want it to be the last conference. I want it to be one that leads to another, and that you know, we are enthused about, because boy, there is so much out there, so much knowledge, and so much enthusiasm.
We have a question: should we bring our electronic badges this year?
Well, you can. I mean, you know, we're never going to tell you not to bring something electronic. I know we are working on electronic badges for this year. I can't say more than that at this stage, but you won't be disappointed. I'm pretty sure I can say that.
There will be badges.
Yeah, definitely there'll be badges.
There's always
one
badges.
Sort or another.
Yes. And, someone said VPNs explained with puppets. I would love to see that as a talk. I would come to that, even if that's 5 minutes at Hackers Got Talent. I would love to hear that explanation. And everything's better with puppets. Yeah, bring it.
Well, Jason Scott will be, of course, part of Hackers Got Talent, as always. And he'll be giving a talk as well. And you know, so many people that just are staples of HOPE. But there's also newcomers and returning faces and surprises and all kinds of things like that. And you make it all possible by investing in the conference and making it possible for us to have it in the first place.
Yes, put it on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Plan on it.
You want to try and take one more call?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, 802-321-4225. Apologies for what we're going through tonight. We don't know what it is, and it's hard to troubleshoot in the middle of a show.
Yeah, it's a new mystery. We will spend some of our free time troubleshooting it, but it's a very nerve-wracking to be on the radio and disassembling your means of making radio at the same time. So
yeah, I don't know. It doesn't.
I'm sure everyone understands.
I'm gonna try something. If I bring this up and bring everything else down,
love the hum.
No, that didn't work. Okay, I thought if I brought everything else down and left the phone up, maybe the hum would go away. We've tried everything else. We've swapped out wires. We've moved things on the board. It's possible.
Here,
see, the reason I don't think it's the phone is because it happens when the phone is hung up.
Yeah, but like when I disconnect it.
When you disconnect the wire to the phone.
The wire to the phone. There it is. Now okay. Let me disconnect it.
Yeah, well, I think that's definitely.
There
that's
it definitely, is.
Okay, so hold on.
So what is that?
What is
it's,
that? Okay,
it's
what,
not off hook.
What does that wire plug into on the other end?
the phone line for this facility.
Okay, but that wire has to go somewhere. Where does it go? It doesn't go down to the central office. Does it plug into the wall? Does it plug into another device?
I don't want to discuss the ins and outs of how the pathways work, but let's just say it connects to a device that right. accesses the public telephone.
Well, maybe that device is the problem, is my point.
Wiring. Would you like me to disassemble the wiring from the walls? I'll go ahead and rip out all the wiring and we can go through all of it.
Well, that's eventually, all. We're going to have to do that at some point.
I thought it might be like fans or some kind of climate
You
stuff.
Thought it was neighbors down the street. People running air conditioners and things. We don't know. We don't know what's causing it. It's a mystery. It's the damnedest thing.
I don't want to talk describe what type of phone line it is or how or what it is connected to, but we will spend some time.
It's
when we're
a
not
naughty
on...
phone line right now. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
It's angry. It's an angry telephone line. Right.
You know. So what we should do before every show is hit every button and test every channel, just to make sure we don't have.
Oh really?
Surprises.
Oh, that's what we should do.
Well, we
that's
haven't. What we, doing. We have not oh, been doing
gosh,
that.
Gosh, that sounds so fun. Let me just plan my whole week around that.
All right, that works. 802-321-4225 is the phone hung up so that people can
yes,
call? Okay,
yes.
And the ringer is on or off?
Let me check.
All right.
It's on mild. Okay. Do you want it on spicy?
No, mild is fine for these purposes. Well, do one more call and then the torture can end.
We just, again, want short questions or comments, and then we'll make the hum go away as you bid us farewell. Please call 802-321-4225. That's 833-755-2600. I'll say it slowly. 802-321-4225.
That's one number, and then you gave a second number, too.
833-755-2600.
Okay, two phone numbers there. And if you were considering giving a speech tonight, this is not a good night for it because we have horrible hum on the phone line. So we can only accommodate a brief statement or question. And here we go. Go ahead. Please leave us your brief statement or question.
Hi, Yang. Tim in Connecticut. Just wanted to make mention that I am using an OB100 with an ATA adapter and a Ma Bell phone.
Wow.
For my Google Voice, which has been killed many times by Google, and yet it still exists. So I think there's hope for the Nest unit. All it needs is everybody to complain.
Dang.
Because Google doesn't apparently like a black eye. Anyway, catch you online.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim, from Connecticut.
Thanks.
I should point out, one of the highlights of hope for me was meeting Tim in the in the dive bar by the hotel at Hope. Remember
yes.
that? We drove the van over and
that was really, really
fun. That was
fun.
A lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks for calling back too, because
he
was one of the first callers and wanted to make his comment, and we got completely distracted. Again, troubleshooting this the means of production while producing is very difficult and nerve wracking. So thanks, Tim, for that. And thanks for telling us about your ATAs, everybody. I know that's a very personal thing, but we like to know that people are using analog adapters and that, in this case, they're availing themselves of Google's services. You can use it with, I think, a myriad of other providers, virtual phone providers. I think you need to do a little more configuring as far as your direct inbound dialing or whatever all those acronyms are. It is not trivial, but I guess Google Voice is somewhat more straightforward, or at least ready to go, and people are using that. So that's exciting. That's encouraging stuff, and we're jealous that you don't have a hum either.
Well, I just thought of one thing, and this is probably nothing, but I figured I'd mention it because the detective always tells you if you think of anything, just let us know. And I did something did come to mind. Detective Sipowicz. It's the tiniest thing, but I remember it was either last week or the week before that. We were doing some extracurricular activities with this board, and we were playing vinyl. We were playing vinyl through a different channel.
No, I know. I already turned all that down.
Is
that was
it
like
possible
the first
doing
thing
that
did.
Somehow angered the phone line on the board? And
well, the cable's right here, uh-huh. and I already turned everything down from that. That was like one of the first things I did. I can turn
okay.
more things down.
No, that's okay. Yes. Well, I guess we should say our goodnights then, because this is kind of...
Yeah. But before we do that, I will just say that in yet another way in which we're asking for help, keep us going at WBAI. Go to buddy.wbai.org and do what you can to keep the radio station, our radio home, and a vital source of news and information and entertainment here in New York City and abroad. Keep it going, buddy.wbai.org, or call 833-WBAI-NYC. That's 833-922-4692 to make a pledge.
And once again, we are sorry for the technical issues. This happens occasionally. It's part of the nature of the beast. We appreciate your patience. And as always, you can write to us, OTH at 2600.com, and the comments on the chat are there for Gila and others to read and share, and hopefully next week we'll be able to have this resolved and take more longer phone calls.
Yeah, this never happens. We're really embarrassed.
It happens.
It never happens
fairly regularly.
No,
not often,
happens.
But it does happen. Maybe every 6 months, something like this.
So
happens.
Embarrassing.
Got a week to sort it out.
We got a week to sort it out, but the hum has fans, and I guess now I'm concerned that the hum is going to become our Steve Urkel.
We could just leave the hum going until the next show on YouTube. I don't care. Is that what people
you
want?
Know.
Probably
really
more
mess
popular,
with those algorithms.
More listeners than we get, I'll bet.
I did take the opportunity to share a quick clip from A Mighty Wind in the chat, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but it sounds fascinating.
if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Hum
right.
for dad.
Sometimes ignorance is bliss. All right, that's going to be it for tonight, folks. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you in a week.
We did our best.
We did. Nobody can take that away from us.
Yeah, I mean, what are they really going to say?
I don't know. I don't.
I mean, what do they know?
Right. Oh,
get your own phone
didn't
line.
Hit the button.